This is the Rhythm and News Service of JPR. I'm Dave Jackson. Welcome to another JPR Live session. Joining me in the Steve Nelson Performance Studio, singer-songwriter Will Hoag. His new release, his 15th, is Wings on My Shoes. We've been spinning it for you on open air for the last several weeks. He grew up in Tennessee. He's calling Nashville home now. Will Hoag, welcome to JPR. We're pretty excited to have you here.
Great to see you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Take us back to your early years as a musician. Where did that track in your life begin?
Well, I mean, I grew up, my father had been a musician, my uncle, his brother had been musicians in the sort of post-Beatles era where everybody started bands. So I grew up around the love of music and, you know, in Nashville, when you grow up, you're just around it everywhere you go. So I think I fell in love with it real early. And then I didn't get a guitar till I was 17 and then went to college with the intention of being a teacher and basketball coach and then... Fell in love, you know, started playing in bands and writing songs pretty quickly after that, and it all went downhill from there.
Yeah, it seems much more fun than actual college.
For sure.
You released Carousel back in 2001, and then you signed with Atlantic, but that was kind of short-lived, and that was up to, that was sort of your plan to make it short-lived. Is that what I don't understand think the, that right?
Yeah. I mean, the plan wasn't to make it short-lived.
Right.
The plan, you know, you go into those with these bright-eyed sort of rock and roll dreams of it being, you know, the next Led Zeppelin or the next Rolling Stones or whatever it is.
Right.
And so we made one record for them and it did fine. I was real pleased with it. Mm-hmm. They were happy with it. But, you know, you realize pretty quickly, pretty good is not, I mean, sales of pretty good is not good enough for a major label.
Uh-huh.
And the next record I wanted to make, that was 2004, we did a sort of politically tinged EP called the America EP.
Mm.
And they were great. They just said, hey, listen, if this is the kind of music you want to make, we don't want to be a part of it. It was like, cool. Yeah, I think we'll probably do this on our own.
Kind of, we did. A bit of a badge of honor, maybe.
Yeah. It was. They were real complimentary about getting rid of us.
Well, why don't you play us a tune? What do you want to play?
We'll do one from the new record. It's called Ain't How It Used to Be.
Nice.
Used to be the kind of town where you'd buy a place and settle down, start a family and hang around. That's the way that it used to be. 12 years of school with the same old kids. Talk about getting away from this, but then you do just like your mama and daddy did. That's the way that it used to be. Then the money came in and almost overnight turned all the collars from blue to white. Oh man, it was a hell of a sight. Now it ain't how it used to be. 'Cause now Main Street shines like a diamond and the people all look like dolls. Everything's practically perfect. Oh man, it's hard to believe. That just ain't how it used to be. Earl's fruit stand used to sit over there. Now it's someplace called Mercantile Square. Sells used blue jeans, $200 a pair. Man, that ain't how it used to be. Dotson's used to serve fried chicken right here. Now it's called Malone's and sells wax for your beard. That place has Vespas instead of John Deere's. Man, that ain't how it used to be. 'Cause now Main Street shines like a diamond and the people all look like dolls. And everything's practically perfect. Oh man, it's hard to believe. That just ain't how it used to be. The day, and I know that sometimes things have to change. It's a lot nicer now, but I smile when I think about how it used to be. 'Cause now Main Street shines like a diamond, and the people all look like dolls. and everything's practically perfect. Oh man, it's hard to believe. If you grew up here like me, this just ain't how it used to be. Ain't how it used to be.
Will Hoge is my guest today in a JPR live session. That was Ain't How It Used to Be. It's a song from his new release, Wings on My Shoes, released back in August. Your songwriting always seems to be from the heart, whether you're making a political statement or writing about something personal. And Wings on My Shoes, I've heard it described as showing your more vulnerable side and having some gratitude there. Yeah. What do you think sent you in that direction?
Well, I mean, lots of therapy for the first part. Married to a therapist for the second part. Mm-hmm. And then the pandemic, you know, a lot of these songs were written kind of in the darkest part of when we were all really locked down, you know, and didn't know if you could even see people on your front porch. And, mm-hmm. you know, my kids were home from school, and I was really, really isolated, I think probably for the first time in my life. And I didn't deal with it very well. And, wife had sent me away for a couple of days and gotten me some help. And, you know, when I came back, I really was starting to realize shortly after John Prine had passed away, and I was reading all the great things about him, and I started writing a little bit more and really focusing on, you know, getting myself out of all of the problems of the world, which I could do nothing mm-hmm. about, and really just going, you know, what can I do? I can work on writing and trying to write better songs. I can try to be a better dad and a better husband. I can focus sort of my energies here. And when I did that, I started to find some joy in not in the suffering of the world, obviously, but in the how fortunate I am to get to do this for a living and be in a place where I can, you know, take 2 years off from work and be able to still survive, and everybody was healthy and happy for the most part. So trying to pick those little bits of joy out really started to inform all of these songs, and I think it kind of comes through in the end product.
Well, I was kind of thinking the last one to go really mm-hmm. seems like that's a real family-centric and centric on your own, centered on your own relationship and just what all that what all that means.
Yeah, and that, you know, that one in particular was one that, you know, is very autobiographical. I mean, that's a conversation that my wife and I have quite often. And, you know, she hopes that she goes first. And I kind of do, too. Not anytime soon. But I don't want her having to
not
deal
in
with
a bad way, but in a...
No, yeah. And that's what, yeah, you know, that's what, like, the song. Well, wait, we want to make sure that this doesn't come across wrong. You know?
Right. Well, hey, you feel like playing that one?
Yeah, let me grab a harmonica real quick.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Hope that we're still years away from the ending. Hope that we're less than halfway through the show. Hope that one day we could just fade off together, 'cause the saddest part of any true love is someone ends up alone. I'd rather be the one that's crying. I'd rather be the one that rides in that long black limousine with half of love inside. Be the one to take the flowers, spread them round back home. I'd rather be the one that's sleeping in this quiet old house alone. Hope that I'm the last one to go. I can't stand the thought of you wearing a black dress, hugging your sisters and telling them that you don't need them to stay. And the tears tattoo your face in that picture window while our children and their children slowly drive away. Rather be the one that's crying, rather be the one who rides in that long black limousine with half of the love inside. I'd be the one to take the flowers, spread around back home. I'd rather be the one that's sleeping in this quiet old house alone. Hope that I'm the last one to go. Rather be the one that's crying, rather be the one that rides in that long black limousine with half of the love inside. I'd be the one to take the flowers and spread around back home. I'd rather be the one that's sleeping in this quiet old house alone. Hope that I'm the last one to go.
That's the last one to go, Will Hoag, here on Jefferson Public Radio in a live session today. The new album is Wings on My Shoes, and the last one to go is off of that new album. Going back a little bit, by the way, nice song. That's really touching.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
Going back a bit to My American Dream and Tiny Little Movies, they have a bit more of a political message. And My American Dream is back in 2018. There was a big national discussion about Confederate monument. I guess it was a discussion. Monuments and symbols. Tell us about the song Still a Southern Man.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I grew up when I was born in Nashville, and then when my folks were able to afford a house when I was five or six, we moved south to this little town called Franklin, Tennessee. And I loved growing up there. It was a really kind of picturesque little middle class, lower middle class southern town. A big Civil War battle was fought there. Grew up around all of that, you know, and I loved the history part of all that. And all the schools that I attended, the junior high school and the high school, were always the Franklin Rebels. Mm. And you know, the mascot was a Confederate general. And you know, there was a rebel flag that he carried. And I grew up loving that, not in a Civil War where I just thought, you know, that was our mascot. That was, and to me, a rebel was this idea of like somebody that you can't tell what to do, somebody that, you know, is cut from their own cloth and kind of does their own thing. And I loved that, you know, and thought that that was what that stood for. And then, you know, as I got a little older and got outside of my very insulated small town bubble, started to really realize what that was a symbol of. Though I never meant it that way, and I don't think most of the people, you know, that I played ball with and all of that, I mean, lots of guys and girls of color, you know, I don't think ever had a place to go like, hey, this really is uncomfortable. And, you know, I don't think any of us were mature enough at that point, or I won't say there were people that obviously didn't like it. I wasn't mature enough at that point to go, well, you know, I thought, well, that's not what it means to me, so what's the big deal? And then as I grew up, just realized what that was. And right after the church shooting in Charleston, South Carolina, we were on the road, and I wrote that song. Really looking back on that, because I do understand what it's like to grow up in a small town and be isolated from any sort of ideas that are bigger than the small place that you grow up. And, you know, I don't have any shame about that, but I do have to admit that, you know, what I thought it was, it isn't. Right. And, you know, I liked that song as a hopefully an acknowledgement of not only how wrong that is, but also a testament to, you know, you can see the world and change your mind.
Right. Grow. And you can grow with. Right.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to be 49 and feel the exact same way that I did about things when I was 16.
Right.
So, yeah.
Cool. So Wings on My Shoes. How did you guys go about recording that?
That was fun. You know, I mean, the studio has really become a place that I love. When I first started, studio is the most intimidating place you go.
It's like it's the blank piece of paper that you.
It is, yeah. And it's also it's a little bit like stand. You know, live, and maybe it's which one you do first. But you know, I grew up playing live, so live. You know, you just sort of you go up there and you let it all rip. And if you screw up, you sort of just you play through it and you make it a part of the show. Mm. You know, it's if you start the show strong and you end the show strong, kind of in the middle, everybody's like, I don't know, it was just awesome. You know,
right?
And because it doesn't really stick around the way that a live performance is a little bit like standing naked for a photograph because, you know, this picture lives forever.
Right.
And something about that was real intimidating to me when I was younger. But now after making enough records, I mean, the studio really is a place that I feel like I've started to thrive and this band really does well. And so I had a good batch of songs and we had recorded enough. This band came on as my road band for the Anchors album. Didn't record on that one, but played on the tour. And then since then, they did My American Dream. We did that as a band, and then we did Tiny Little Movies as a band. So we've kind of gotten a little stride with how we work, and we hadn't seen one another. You know, that was the other thing. Coming out of COVID, everybody had been apart. So there was some real joy in just getting to be together and be creative again. Which was awesome. And the end product, I think, really, you know, you have these little moments every time you make a record where you listen back and you go, if I had it to do over now, I'd still probably fix that. And there's not a whole lot of that on this record for me, which is a good sign.
And do you guys did that pretty much live in the studio? Is that?
Yeah, we tend to cut that way. I mean, we brought in my friend, our friend, Josh Grange, who's a great pedal steel player and guitar player and piano, kind of a jack of all trades. He was sort of our fifth member in the studio. Yeah, and just sort of went in and tracked pretty live, and then we worked out parts, and it was cut pretty quickly, which is generally how I like to work. We don't steely dan it when we're in there. We don't have that kind of time and money.
Great. It came out. It comes out nice, and it feels authentic.
Yeah, so I really want it to feel like you're kind of in the room. You want the air to move around a little, and kind of feel that on the recording.
Yeah, I remember. I'm a big Tom Petty fan, and
when
Mudcrutch, the last couple of things he did, that was all live in the studio stuff, and it really was. It was raw and energetic, and
I think there's more of a movement back to that. You know, we were just talking to a friend was working on a Neil Young project. And you know, they're cutting not only live, I mean, we were still doing it live, but with headphones and, you know, and all of that. But I mean, and I still want to try it at some point. You know, Neil was cutting with the band with Crazy Horse and cutting, you know, with monitors, like no headphones, just bleed and everything. And there's something about that that's incredibly attractive. And I hope to get to do that at some point.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, hey, why don't you play us another tune?
Sure. This is it's the first song on the record, and it was really the first thing that I wrote for the record. It's called John Prine's Cadillac.
Oh, good tune.
Need loaf, mashed potatoes. Jesus Christ ain't gonna save us. Careful, or this old world will make us crazy as the three
three-legged mule. Baked biscuits, brown and easy. Fried chicken all nice and greasy. Every time she comes round here and sees me, I'm shaking like a love-drunk fool. 'Cause I'm smiling like a sinner on a month without Sundays. I guess I'm pretty all right. Put it in a postcard, tell the whole world that I'm just fine. And I'm skipping like a flat rock, sailing across the water, shining like the Ryman stained glass. Happy as the music coming out of the speakers in the back of John Prine's Cadillac. Rolling slow, humming a song. Keep my Christmas tree lit up all year long. You got me smiling bigger than Cheech and Chong. My heart banging like two boots in a dryer. I roll the dice and I can't lose. I got wings on my fingers and rings on my shoes. If I try to sing them lovesick blues, everybody'll know that I'm a liar. 'Cause I'm smiling like a sinner on a month without Sundays. I guess I'm pretty alright. Put it in a postcard, tell the whole world that I'm just fine. And I'm skipping like a flat rock, sailing across the water, shining like the Ryman stained glass. Happy as the music coming out of the speakers in the back of John Prine's Cadillac. I'm smiling like a sinner on a month without Sundays. I guess I'm pretty alright. Put it in a postcard, tell the whole world that I'm just fine. And I'm skipping like a flat rock, sailing across the water, shining like the Ryman stained glass. Happy as the music coming out of the speakers in the back of John Prine's Cadillac.
Cool tune. That is John Prine's Cadillac. Will Hogue with me in a JPR live session. That's from his new album, Wings on My Shoes. And you got to give us a story behind that. I've heard it, but I'd like
to have you. Well, you know, like I said, growing up in Nashville, you know, Prine was always this really mythical figure, always, as he should be. I mean, as an incredible songwriter and all of that. But one day I was, it's been 25, 30 years ago, I pulled up to a red light in Nashville, and this big shiny Cadillac pulled up next to me, and it was John Prine, and sunglasses on, and he was sort of tapping on his steering wheel, he was just grinning ear to ear, and you could hear this music just sort of like boom, boom, out of the back, and I wondered at the time, like, what on earth is he listening to, you know, the feeling that he's given all of us for 40 years, you know, what is he listening to? And then the light turned green and he pulled into, you know, Arnold's restaurant, and I drove off, and I toted that story around for years. I never necessarily thought it would be a song. And then losing him and reading all these just incredible tributes, you know, it's one of those rare people, Dolly Parton's that, I mean, I can think of probably maybe one hand, but definitely on two, the people that really you don't hear a bad word about. Doesn't mean they've always been perfect. They've done imperfect things, but still, you know, just everybody gushes about how great they are. And Prine was that way. And reading all of these tributes from his family and his kids and other artists and just fans, and I thought, man, what a joyful thing. And then trying to carve my own joy out and using that as sort of the metaphor for it, and then being able to work that what I thought was just a drinking story that I told people into a song was pretty great.
Great story and a good song you got out of it.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, thanks so much for stopping by to play for us today.
Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, good luck on the tour and the ongoing success of Wings on My Shoes. You can find more information on Will Hoge at willhoge.com, W-I-L-L-H-O-G-E. JPR Live sessions are archived at our website and available as podcasts at Spotify, Stitcher, and Apple Podcasts. Stick around for more Open Air in just a moment.